From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of June 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a weekend-sparked rally in the financial markets on the bailout of Spain has sputtered. And Illinois and USDA ARS researchers are on the hunt for the high-yield gene of soybeans. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you what the Illinois ag economists have learned about the ability of corn to withstand dry weather conditions and how that has, or maybe has not, changed over the decades. Hey, and don't forget, just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago at the CME Group on this Monday afternoon. The final trade on the afternoon that came at 2 o'clock in the electronic for the soft red winter wheat finished at $6.30. It was unchanged, and the September there at 6.47¾ was down a quarter. It was the spring wheat that was at 7.77, up 7¾ in Minneapolis. The hard red July at 6.53 was down 3. July corn futures were 6 cents lower at $5.92. September at 5.37½, down 13½, and December 5.31½, 12½ lower. The March contract 5.42¾, down 13¼. May contract 5.50¼ in the corn pit, down 13¾. And July futures 5.57½, down 12½ cents. December of next year at 5.35¼, down 11¾ on the afternoon. From the soy complex, nearby beans at 4.22½, down 3¾. August down a nickel at 13.95½. And November, 13.25, down 7½. January beans at 13.24, 7¾ lower. In the May at 12.76¼, down 9¾. Bean meal finished the July at 4.26.50, down 3.30. Bean oil at 49.66, 20 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the August at 1.23. Down 52½. September feeders at 161.42½, up 90 cents. This is the CMR. And the lean hogs finished the June contract today at $93.32½. They were up 30 cents for the day. The outside markets this afternoon are currently trading the crude oil at $82.39 a barrel, down $1.71. Of course, that's on a 10-minute delay in the July contract. Natural gas at $2.21 2/10. That's down 8 7/10. July ethanol at $2.06 1/10, a penny and 6/10 lower. And the gold futures on the day at $1,595.50 an ounce, up $5.40. The U.S. dollar at 82.5, that's up 0.008. And the CRB index at 270.75, down 2.13 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 87 with a southwest wind at 10 to 13. And then tonight, that chance of showers and thunderstorms will dwindle to 30%. All coming before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear. A low of 61 degrees this evening on a southwest wind at 9 to 14. And then in the area tomorrow, sunny skies and 78. Tuesday night, clear and 52. Wednesday, sunny and 77. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 58. Thursday, sunny skies and 82. Thursday night, mostly clear and 62. Friday, sunny and a high near 87 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 66. And on Saturday, sunny skies and 90 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 69. By the time we get to Sunday, we should see mostly sunny skies and 89 degrees. So if you're going to get to any type of weather, you'll need to get it today in the terms of rainfall here in our part of the world. We'll talk more about the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. They're in the Boeing building up on the 23rd floor.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural commodities is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tomorrow morning we have another WASDE report, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report, due out from the United States Department of Agriculture. Interestingly, this one will happen for the very first time in the midst of trade, not only the electronic, but the open outcry or the pit trade will open as well. That at 7:20, so it'll be trading for about 10 minutes. Before the USDA numbers are revealed from Washington, D.C., what are your expectations?
Some wild volatility, because when you look at these reports, there's various numbers that come out. So it depends what number you're looking for and what you need to do when you see that number. You know, we'll have, on the supply-demand balance sheet, we'll have yield, and then we'll have exports. Then you shift to the global numbers. We'll have Chinese numbers. We'll have South American numbers. So it could be a situation, if you're an electronic trader, you'll be poking buy 1 second and sell the next second. So I think we're going to see an exciting up and down type of trade, some extreme high volatility this first time around. The financial markets and outside markets are fairly well adapted to trading during a report, but far as us in the agriculture side, it's going to be an interesting morning.
Well, let me ask this question. Is there enough time after the report, because you've got the whole day of trade extra, a couple of extra hours in the open outcry pits to settle things down? Is there enough time there for those who want to ride through the process with a position to do that?
Well, you just got to have some staying power. And the best thing you can do to have staying power, not get spooked out or stopped out, is to have some covered positions. Some of the smartest people in the world who trade the commodities has been successful at it, has been using covered positions for years and years and years. And it gives them some staying power, because last thing you want to do is have a position on and have a 20-cent stop on it, then get stopped out, then 10 minutes later see it working 20 cents in your favor. That's just set up for disaster from a trader's point of view. As a hedger, if you got some long-term hedge on, yes, you stick with it and see what the trade brings you later in the day. But most of them probably be ready to go home by 11 o'clock in the morning.
It could be a wild and woolly day, and they may well be ready to head home early tomorrow on that USDA report day. We'll have all the information on up on our website at about 7:30. Dave Dick will be taking care of that. He's the director of ag programming. One of the things that's been happening in the marketplace today is rainfall that started out west and made its way through at least the state of Illinois, parts of Indiana. To this point, we've had about 47 hundredths, or nearly half an inch of rainfall at the radio station. So just outside, we have a weather station, and it's now showing 0.47. Not a big total, but rainfall nonetheless, I suppose. And the marketplace was reacting to the satellite images today, I think, in part, were they not?
Yeah, and actual reports, too. Here in Bloomington Normal, we received zero. But you get on south of 74, even in southern Illinois, we heard a greater amount. Some of it's hit and miss, a tenth in one area and a half inch in another area. In Missouri, up to 1.5 inches in some isolated areas. So some of the drier areas did receive some rain, and there's still some possibility of moisture here as we move through the day. That kept the lid on the market early in the session. When you look longer term, there's still concerns about weather. But what took over as the day went on, we felt, was the outside market action. Crude oil rolled over to the downside. The Dow was lower. And when you look at the players were the ones in charge today, such as the funds, who kind of watch that in tandem. So I think when you look at the player sheet, you'll see the funds were overall sellers today. And I think tomorrow morning might be a different story when we see some raw fundamental news to trade on.
Does that mean that the outside market influence and the Spanish government being bailed out, but that waning in terms of, well, that's nice, it doesn't really do as much as we thought it would throughout the day?
Yeah, I mean, it's positive. These countries are going to get some help. They're going to need some help. I think everyone fairly well recognizes or understands this is a long, drawn-out process. And, you know, there's going to be some pain involved. You know, if you go back in history, there is no real quick fix to the problem. But, you know, it's the same old story. It's all positive one day and all negative the next. That's going to create a lot of ups and downs in the marketplace. But as far as the agriculture sector goes with all this, we still see overall raw demand in the world strong for agriculture products, Todd.
There's more discussion and more vibe, I suppose, than anything else that the Fed in the United States may implement a QE3 to protect the United States economic system. Do you think that's a good or a bad idea, and will they do it?
Well, from a budgetary point of view, it's awful hard to keep throwing money at a bottomless pit, but you know, from an investor's point of view, you hate to see the old economy take another downturn in through here. It's going to create a lot of economic uncertainty in front of us, and those who are in charge of it are a lot smarter than I am, man, so I hope for the best for them.
All right. Did today's rainfall do much good for the bean crop?
It's going to help, especially when you talk to producers in the double crop areas. There was a lot of speculation of not attempting double crop because of the dry conditions. There's guys that went ahead with it and put beans in some dry soil. So, yes, definitely the rain is going to help bean prospects, especially in the double crop. And even if guys put beans in dry dirt the first time around, you know, if they didn't die on them. But there's some guys looking to replant some areas, and if they got some rain here, they'll want to spot some beans in. So it's definitely a positive.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Good luck in the morning.
Hey, thank you. You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon, and he's right. Tomorrow morning, USDA releases the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Those come out at 7:30 a.m. Central Time, 8:30 a.m. on the Eastern time zone. And this will be the first time that they are released during regular trading hours. In fact, the CME Group, which has electronic trading open at that time, has moved the pit opening up until 7:20 a.m. So the pit will be open just about 10 minutes before the USDA WASDE numbers were released tomorrow morning. We'll, of course, have updates at our regular 8:50 and 9:50 time frames. And if you check our website, you'll see all the numbers that come out from WASDE at that point. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
A quick word of thanks to all the folks who signed up for our Follow the Corn bus trips. Looks like it's going to be really successful. We're full. If you'd like to go, it's unlikely we'll take a second bus, but if you want to, you can go ahead and get on the wait list. That might be a good idea one way or the other. Our Follow the Corn bus tour, it's the first of what we hope will be many Will Ag tours to see where all the grain and oil seeds are headed to come out of the Midwest. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, is here now. He'll help us go through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, a global market rally over a European bailout of Spanish banks faded today as investors worried the country might have trouble paying the money back. Finance ministers from the 17 countries that use the euro said they were willing to lend Spain up to $125 billion after Madrid said it would need help to shore up banks felled by bad real estate loans. Some worry that the Spanish government, which is responsible for paying the money back, will struggle with the extra debt. The government will try to get the money back from the banks, But if it cannot do so, it will have to borrow on international markets where its borrowing rates are high. Greeks will go to the polls for the second time in as many months on June 17th to elect a new government. The outcome could determine whether Greece sticks with the heavy budget cutting that is required under the terms of an international bailout or rejects the fiscal austerity imposed by the rest of Europe. The uncertainty in Greece has been hanging over global financial markets. The election will help determine whether the financial crisis that has plagued Europe for more than 2 years is slowly coming under control or is about to get much worse. If Greece renounces its bailout terms, that could lead to the default and force it out of the eurozone, a move that could greatly weaken the euro and send shockwaves across the global financial system. University of Illinois and USDA ARS researchers are exploring the genetic potential of exotic soybean lines from China to increase yields for United States farmers. The researchers have identified the locations of several genes from the Chinese lines that have a positive impact on yield in U.S. varieties. Those genes gave yield increases of 1 to 2 bushels per acre, and when stacked together, yield increases of 8 to 9 bushels per acre. Nearly 80% of genes in modern soybean varieties can be traced back to just a dozen ancestral lines. In 2012, U of I researchers will begin looking at a wider range of germplasm through the Midwest to identify and confirm genetic areas that increase soybean yields. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Find us online at willag.org. Up next, you know, 8 months of above normal temperatures and drier than normal conditions in May and early June have many worried this year's corn harvest could come up short. Some are wondering just how short, and despite today's rainfall, if today's corn hybrids are better capable of withstanding a drought. I'll have more on what the ag economist at the University of Illinois did to find out whether the numbers across the United States support a corn crop that is more drought resistant. The ag economist at Illinois took a look at 3 recent drought events to see how today's corn hybrids yielded. Now, the first observation is the 2011 yield of irrigated corn in Texas. Irrigated corn yields in Texas tend to deviate by relatively small amounts from the long-term trend, typically only plus or minus 10 bushels to the acre. Of course, that makes sense, especially to the Illinois ag economist, because irrigation removes the main limitation to dryland corn yields, summer rainfall. From this perspective, the decline, then, in irrigated corn yields in 2011 in Texas is nothing short of astonishing. The actual yield of 133.9 bushels was the lowest since 1983 and a 33% drop from trend. Now, the drop was due to the extreme drought conditions in Texas last year, which were so severe that many irrigation systems simply did not have the capacity to keep up with the water demand of the corn plants. It is a dramatic demonstration that modern corn hybrids are still susceptible to very hot and dry conditions. The second observation is the 2012 yield of corn in Argentina. Since the yield series represents dryland production, the deviation from trend can sometimes be quite large. The 2012 estimated yield of 95.1 bushels is a case point. The yield was 24% below trend. Now, one can argue that the production practices are comparable to those in the U.S., and the hot and dry weather conditions in 2011-12 that occurred in Argentina were not as historically extreme as those that occurred in Texas last year. The first two observations established the not-too-surprising result that corn yield remains susceptible to drought conditions, but yield still may have been better than if those same conditions occurred, say, 20 years ago. And this leads us to the third set of calculated observations the Illinois ag economist explored. They used data from 1960 on to set up a model. The model allowed them to normalize yield data and then to look in recent years for differentiations. Those were found in 2002, 3, 7, 10, and 2011 in the Illinois 9 crop reporting districts. The model suggests yields in those 5 dry years were roughly 4.4 bushels better than expected. If you restrict the model run to just 2007, 10, and 11, then the change is nearly 10 bushels better than expected. The take-home message from the analysis is twofold, write the Ag Economist on the FarmDoc Daily website. U.S. corn yields are likely somewhat less susceptible to drought conditions than in the past. And two, a Corn Belt-wide drought would still lead to sizable yield reductions relative to trend. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Greg Johnson to take a look at the cash grain market. Greg, we had about 47 hundredths or nearly a half an inch here on campus, all coming kind of through the noon hour time frame. You're not too far, maybe 4 miles to the
north.
West of us, west and north of us. How'd you do?
Nothing. Nothing here at the LA. I was in town for lunch myself over the lunch, and it poured in Champaign, and got back out here to the elevator hoping to see some good totals in the rain gauge, and there wasn't even a drop in there. Just got the sidewalk wet, not even sure if we got that much, and looks like it's moved on through. So in general, it sounds like if you were south of Interstate 72 or south of Interstate 74, there were some decent quarter-to-half-inch rains. But if you get north of that line, that's where the totals were zero to just a trace.
I don't know whether that'll even things out so that everybody's on an even keel dry, but they were they were drier, I suppose, than we were.
That's true. That's true. And there is rain in the forecast, the 6 to 10 day and the 11 to 15 day. We have to go out 15 days now to get rain, which is a little concerning, but hopefully one of these times these weather forecasts will call for rain. It'll be a general rain instead of these just isolated scattered showers where you have to be under the right cloud. But so far, you know, we're hanging in there. The corn's hanging in there. We haven't, irreversibly hurt it yet, but people are just starting to get nervous about this dry pattern that we just can't seem to get a nice general rain.
Tell me about your view of basis for both corn and soybeans.
Well, I think the farmers have gone into not lockdown mode, but they're very reluctant to let loose of that last little bit of old crop corn until they're sure that they're going to have something to sell for new crops. So farmer movement has been very, very slow in both old crop corn and beans, and as a result, we've seen basis levels start to improve. You know, we improved about a nickel last week. Didn't do anything today. We're still steady at 40 over the July, and the processors are 50 to 55 over. But until we start seeing some better rainfall totals, I just don't think that farmer movement's going to break that basis anytime soon.
And for soybean?
Same thing on soybeans, and I think there's even less old crop soybeans available than corn, believe it or not. At one point, I thought there was more beans out there than corn, but now I'm beginning to think that there's, you know, more corn out there and fewer beans. So bean basis continues to be extremely firm, too.
And your bids for the day?
Old crop corn is 632, new crop corn 509, old crop beans 1417, new crop beans 1306. And the new wheat is 635.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk with the folks in Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the weather forecast. Stay with us for this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
It's National German Chocolate Day. It's also Feast Day of St. Barnabas, the patron saint of farmers. On this day in agricultural history in 1742, Benjamin Franklin invented the Franklin stove. The wood fuel burns on an iron surface over a cold air duct, which heats air, which then passes through baffles in the back wall. The heated air is released through vents on each side of the stove. He did not patent the stove so that others could freely copy the design. In 1842, Carl Paul Gottfried Lind was born. A German engineer, he invented mechanical refrigeration. He developed the technology so that beer could be brewed year-round. In 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt served hot dogs to King George VI and Queen Elizabeth of England during their visit to the U.S. It was the first time they had tried this American treat. And in 1947, sugar rationing ended in the U.S., at least for home use. In a surprise move, then USDA Secretary Clinton P. Anderson ended household and institutional sugar rationing. By the way, during World War II, supplies of sugar were meager. Consumers shifted to substitutes like honey, molasses, saccharin, and corn syrup. How meager were the supplies? Well, some restaurant patrons took home the sugar bowls on their tables. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the phone line to tell us who did and who did not get rainfall this afternoon. It's really hit and miss, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, it is, Todd. And, yeah, it's a situation here all over the weekend and now through this afternoon where some areas got good rains, other areas missed out. Big picture-wise, most of the Midwest here missed out on significant rainfall over the past 72 hours or so. Southwestern Iowa and adjacent areas, Missouri, Nebraska, did pick up the most significant rains, and we're seeing a little bit more here, like you said, this afternoon in portions of central southern Illinois and eastern Missouri. So, same general trends continue, and if you look ahead here, at least throughout the balance of the week, it still looks like limited opportunities for rain across much of the Midwest. Does look like at least better opportunities starting over the weekend and on into next week, primarily across the western half of the Midwest. It's a bit more debatable here in Illinois how much rain we get, but it looks like the further west you go, Iowa, Nebraska, that looks like better rain chances as we go into next week. And we also, prior to that rain opportunity, we are going to see another heat burst here with temperatures Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, again, climbing into the 90s across a good chunk of the Corn Belt.
The relative humidities are fairly low, so even when it gets hot, it doesn't feel all that warm, I suppose.
Yeah, the exception, though, is today, Todd, and we're seeing dew points here in the Midwest. Illinois, central and northern Illinois got up to about 7 degrees with their dew point, which is pretty humid. More kind of your typical midsummer type of moisture content. And as we look ahead here, we are going to see dew points lower and overall relative humidity is lower over the next several days. We are going to see that increase again with the next heat wave on tap for this weekend.
If you go further out, maybe 15 days, can you really see any rainfall then?
Well, Todd, to us, the pattern here still does not look like it's going to change fundamentally compared to what we've been in. So while we do see kind of ebbs and flows of the pattern, which will promote at least, you know, some rain opportunities here, at least up to this point, we don't see anything that would fundamentally change things that would bring at least more long duration and better rain opportunities across the Corn Belt.
On our Commodity Week program over the weekend, Jim Bauer suggested China could be in trouble with their crop, too, in terms of dryness. Would you confirm that or not?
Well, the Chinese crops that are in kind of the central and southern sections of the North China Plain, that has been the driest area over the past 60 days. That is one of your biggest corn-producing areas, but not a big soybean-producing area. Your soybean higher production is further north and has not experienced the severe dryness. The other caveat to all this is that the North China Plain is heavily irrigated, so it's really the dry land acreage in the North China Plain that is seeing stress.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here for the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.